From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, May 30th, 2014. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums. KUAF is supported by Malco Theaters, offering the gift of entertainment year-round for all occasions. Malco gift cards and gift books are available at all locations and online at malco.com. KUAF is also supported by Northwest Arkansas Media, publishers of Northwest Arkansas Times, Springdale and Rogers Morning News, Benton County Daily Record, and the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. These daily newspapers offer local, state, national, and international news, plus business and Razorback news. NWAOnline.com for more information.
Ahead on Ozarks, Michael Tilley talks to Kyle about a possible multi-billion-dollar acquisition by Tyson Foods, and a less-than-expected participation rate for the upcoming city elections in Fort Smith.
And a preview of two very different ways to spend tomorrow night. The Rumble of Monster Trucks will be in Springdale. There will also be music from the Artisphere Festival Orchestra in Fayetteville. And we'll announce the winner of the Wakarusa Festival package.
First, researchers at UAMS are getting a grant of nearly $1.5 million to look at the effects of trauma on adolescent girls and whether there's a firm connection to drug addiction later in life. Dr. Clint Kiltz is lead investigator of the study, which is getting the grant from the National Institute on Drug Abuse.
I and other investigators have moved more recently into understanding not necessarily how to treat the addicted state, but the development of the addicted state and how the brain codes that development. And so this particular grant focuses on studying kind of the origins of the addiction process in adolescence and studying the interaction of the risk factor of adolescence with other risk factors like exposure to trauma.
The study is being funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse.
The city of Centerton is working on a trail that will circle Lake Centerton off of Highway 102. Rick Hudson, the city street superintendent, says the project has been under development for the past 4 years, and city leaders hope the trail and lake will become a focal point for outdoor recreation in the city.
It did have a walking trail along the top levee of it that was built by one of the developers, and we're extending that to encompass this perimeter of the lake, making a complete walkway. And part of our cleanup, we've exposed a real pretty little shoals area of tumbling water, and we built a walking bridge over that.
The city has received substantial support for the project. Hudson says the City Advertising and Promotion Commission, state, and other entities have given the city more than $77,000 for the project. He also says additional support for the project has come in the form of labor by inmates from the Benton County Jail.
The guys from the county correctional facility there, they take a lot of pride. You know, I guess they say it's the closest thing to being back in the real world to them that they've seen in a while. And they feel like they're accomplishing something, too, that is good for the community.
Hudson says the first phase of the trail around the lake should be complete sometime next week. And a second phase, which will extend about 1,800 feet northward along McKissick Creek, is expected to be finished by midsummer.
The Arkansas Game and Fish Foundation has named a new president. Starting July 1st, Chuck Dykus will become acting president of the foundation, and current president Steve Smith will become president emeritus. Dykus is the former president of the Razorback Foundation, and his responsibilities at the Game and Fish Foundation will include fundraising and day-to-day operations. The foundation supports programs and the mission of the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission.
More street work on the way north of the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. Beginning Monday, the City of Fayetteville Transportation Division will begin reconstruction work on a portion of Leverett Avenue between Cleveland and North Streets. The work will involve improvements to storm drainage, replacing deteriorated sidewalks, and curbing and resurfacing the street. Construction will involve closing the street to through traffic on weekdays between 7 and 5, that's 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. The crews may use overnight and weekend work hours if necessary. Traffic will be detoured to Garland Avenue. The work expected to take about 10 weeks.
The Arkansas Razorback baseball team opens play in the NCAA tournament tonight in Charlottesville, Virginia. Arkansas is the number 2 seed in the double elimination regional and faces the number 3 seed, Liberty. Win or lose, Arkansas plays again tomorrow.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals added another mark to the losing column last night. The team was shut out 3-0 by the San Antonio Missions. Naturals move on tonight to play the first of 3 games against the Hooks in Corpus Christi.
Mostly cloudy tonight with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms and lows in the mid to upper 60s. Expect mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms and highs from 79 in northwest Arkansas to 82 in the Arkansas River Valley. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and lows in the mid 60s.
is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley, the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, sports, and more for the entire KUAF listening area. How are you on this Friday?
I'm well. I'm well on this Friday, and we hope to have another. There's another big economic development announcement later today, so we can't talk about it now, but if your listeners will stay tuned to the CityWire, they'll hear about an impressive multi-million dollar new investment in the Fort Smith region.
In radio, we call that a forward promote.
Okay. So. Wow. I did something radio-ish.
You did. Let's do something else radio-ish and have a conversation, beginning
right.
with a Tyson Foods announcement that they would like to acquire Hillshire Brands for nearly $7 billion.
Yeah, that's a big bucket of change. Now, Hillshire Brands, it's a good brand. It's a good company. Jimmy Dean Sausages, Ballpark Franks, you know, I think we're all familiar with Hillshire, but... this is a function of just these larger food companies having a lot of cash and having the ability to finance these deals. And Pilgrim's Pride came after Pinnacle Foods, and you know, I think that got Tyson to move. And there's a big push right now among these large food processors to maintain market share, to have brands, to diversify, especially in their prepared food, their packaged goods, like, you know, the breakfast foods we get. So I think Tyson just couldn't sit by on the sidelines and let Pilgrim's Pride get back in the game and have this kind of market share. So Tyson's offering about $50 a share, which is $5 more than Pilgrim's offered, $5 a share more. And so we'll see what kind of bidding war we get into. I know the Hillshire stock closed out last night. I think it was 17-18% higher. And what that suggests is that the investment community thinks that there will be a bidding war, that Pilgrims will come back or someone else will come back, and that $50 a share won't be the final share price. And Tyson has indicated that it's willing to go a little bit higher. I mean, is that $2, $3, another $5 a share? I don't know, but they're willing to go higher. And a part of Tyson's ability to be able to do this is, should be credited to Donnie Smith, the CEO, and the team he has in place. I know he's the kind of guy, he'll resist taking any credit for it, but he's got that company back on its feet. You know, they've been able to put some cash away, reduce their debt. So they're in a good position to be a capable bidder for Hillshire.
That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
Not quite as much money, but still some change. A $40 million upgrade underway for one of the sort of manufacturing tent poles in the Fort Smith region.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way, but that's a good way to put it. You know, Georgia-Pacific was one of the first manufacturers to hit the Fort Smith area. I think industrial historians will note that, you know, after World War II, there was a lot of manufacturing moved to the South U.S. where wages were lower from the North U.S. And so Dixie was one of the first national manufacturers to come to Arkansas, and they landed in Fort Smith. That was in 1948. They've been here ever since under different brands. James River Corp, American Can, they've had different owners, but now Georgia Pacific owns them, and they're investing $40 million in essentially equipment and technology that allows them to do some of the newer plates, and it's the consumable, the recycled plates, that type of thing. And so the good thing is, I talked to Tim Allen. He's with the Fort Smith Regional Chamber of Commerce, and he said, you know, this helps secure them here. You know,
exactly.
Georgia Pacific is a big company. They can up and move the company anytime or move that plant anytime. But when they invest $40 million, train the people here in a new product line, and it's supposed to begin production in 2015, you know, that's a good sign that shows that the company has faith in the area and the workforce, and that it helps secure that. And you know, the Fort Smith, I don't have to tell you or your listeners, Fort Smith manufacturing sector has taken a beating in the past several years. So this is definitely the kind of news it needed.
So if Dixie has been in the Fort Smith area since just after World War II, there are some others that might put their business roots in the region in 2014, and that's what some people want for some sort of innovation hub to help grow entrepreneurship for the Arkansas River Valley.
Well, yeah, and there's been a lot of talk, and we at the CityWire we've begun to receive more and more emails and phone calls, and essentially their point is, you know, look what Central Arkansas is doing with their innovation hub, the Arkansas Regional Innovation Hub, and look what Northwest Arkansas is doing with, you know, ARC Challenge, and just almost a handful, if not more than a handful, of very innovative entrepreneurship programs there. And so folks are saying, why are we not doing this? Why is this not happening in the Fort Smith region? So that was the story we addressed. And, you know, one of the interesting things is we interviewed Steve Clark, and he has business operations in Fort Smith all over, Northwest Arkansas, Fort Smith, and you know, he essentially threw down the challenge that this needs to happen. He even made the comment, you know, this is what progressive cities do. They provide this type of climate, a type of culture in which people with new ideas can come and try to build those ideas. And, you know, his point is if the Fort Smith region wants to do more to ensure that we don't have a brain drain, that the best and brightest don't go elsewhere, then this is something the city needs to do sooner rather than later. So it's interesting to see where this discussion will go. I know the leadership will have to be in place. Steve Clark mentioned that, and I know I may get in trouble for this, but the Fort Smith region, unfortunately, in the past several years, has just not exhibited the type of leadership that gives me any hope that this will happen sooner rather than later.
Finally, the filing period to run for the Fort Smith Board of Directors closed yesterday, and we emerge with but one contested race.
Yeah, and that's disappointing on several levels. I think it's telling on several levels as well. You know, we've had a lot of people complain about the leadership of the board, and I've been one of them. You know, for example, we had the board is building this $12 million water park. I got nothing against water parks, but they're building a $12 million water park that was initially sold as an $8 million park. They don't have a business model for it. I mean, it's been helter-skelter. They don't know how much they're getting billed, apparently, by their legal firm that they have hired. I mean, I could just go on with the list of things that just are somewhat unsettling. And yet, you know, it's kind of the same old boards coming back to some extent. Mayor Sanders is running unopposed. Vice Mayor and City Director Kevin Settle is running unopposed. And City Director Pam Weber did not run for re-election. City Director Philip Mary's not running for re-election. But it looks like we're going to have, you know, pretty much the same old board. And, you know, we've had, and I don't understand why we're not getting more candidates for this position. For these positions, you know, we've had more than 25 years of leadership Fort Smith classes. I think we've had around 10 years of Citizens Academy classes. There should be a good pool of candidates. And I don't know, Kyle, if it's just people perceive the city government is so dysfunctional that they don't even want to mess with it. Or, you know, they just don't. They're all talk and no action. I don't know, but it was very disconcerting to see only one contested election out of the four that are up.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the CityWire.com that covers politics, business, and much more for the entire KUAF listening area. And later today, we'll have that latest economic development announcement at the CityWire.com. Michael,
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Everyone stay dry.
In about 16 minutes, we find out why an old bowling alley in Mountain Home turned into a special place for the band Coyote Union.
This is really old bowling alley. It's like built in the 70s, and you know, there's like one lane that worked. So whenever we'd kind of be in a spot where we were like, yeah, let's take a break from practice, we just bowl and hang out, but and then just get back to it. So it was really kind of a neat area.
Members of the band discuss bowling, picking a band name, and getting ready for a performance at Wakarusa. That's ahead on Ozarks at Large.
Today on Science Friday, Dr. Elizabeth Margulis from the University of Arkansas will talk about how music gets stuck in our head.
You first come across a song on the radio. It's fine. Maybe it's not really great. It's all right. And then it's, you know, you're re-exposed to it. Maybe it's, you know, playing on a speaker out when you're out in a public space or something, or maybe it's on the radio. And it's just liking it sort of creeps up on you.
Dr. Lisa Margulis talks to us and the rest of the nation about her research on today's Science Friday, beginning at 1 o'clock this afternoon on KUAF 91.3 FM. Tomorrow night, the Artisphere Festival Orchestra will be on stage at Walton Arts Center for the second of their three concerts in Northwest Arkansas this spring. Earlier this week, KUAF's Katie Hendrickson talked to Corrado Riveras, the music director and the conductor of the Artisphere Festival Orchestra, about the makeup of this year's Artisphere Festival Orchestra.
Here, you know, it's again a unique situation because we picked really every musician. I auditioned everyone in this orchestra over 2 years, and every year we have new people coming. And so it's really, the average is probably 25, 26 years old. You have this kind of energy that you bring really directly from your school background. We are not at school, only a few of them maybe, but still you have this kind of freshness. And also when you are stuck in a, let's say you are in a symphony orchestra for 1 year, every day you see your stand partner, it's wonderful, but you get a different energy when you come, you travel, you come here, you're here 2 weeks. You want to enjoy every second, not every hour, every second of your playing music. So you are on a different channel.
The orchestra's first performance this year was Wednesday night's concert broadcast live on KUAF from Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. Marie Toshaway, flute, was a soloist that night. And before the concert, I asked her about a sticker on her flute case indicating she runs marathons.
So the process of taking auditions is kind of interesting because you can do your best, you can prepare, yet your best might not necessarily be what said orchestra panel wants to hear, or they just might not prefer your playing. It's very subjective. So for goal-oriented people, it's hard because you have this goal and you might walk away, you know, without a job, or without doing, feeling like you really lived up to your potential. So I started doing marathons because it was a way to work at something and have a guaranteed result. Like if you do the training and you're smart about it and you get to the finish line healthy, you'll finish the race, and then you can have that sense of accomplishing whatever you set out to accomplish. So usually when I'm running, it's an escape from work, and it's an escape from kind of constantly being under pressure, having people listen to you, having to be responsible for somebody in your section or whatever. So I try to zone out as much as I can. I'm also from Oregon, so I love to be outside.
The Artisphere Festival Orchestra will perform tomorrow night at 8 with the trio Time for Three. That's at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. The program includes music from American composers. Tickets for tomorrow night's concert begin at $10. You can learn more at waltonartscenter.org.
Monsters are heading to Springdale this weekend as the Monster Truck Racing Super Series takes over Parsons Stadium. Ozarks at Large's Christina Karnatz visited the area yesterday as the organizers were setting up the course. She also caught up with Barbarian driver Darren Jones to learn about the show and tricks viewers can expect to see this weekend.
First, we'll do a wheelie contest, and the object of it is to get straight vertical as far as you can, or do a slap wheelie, something that thrills the crowd. The crowd usually votes for the winner. And then we'll do side-by-side racing or Chicago style, and it's just whoever passes the finish line first wins, like a normal race. And then you got freestyle, and that's fan favorite, and they sit there, and whoever's the loudest and whoever does the most tricks and the best tricks wins it.
What is your best trick?
This truck really loves to do slap wheelies, and I can usually do them in pretty small areas where a lot of guys have to have a big wide open area. So that's mainly my trick, but I like going huge air, and it just, whatever, I feed off the crowd, and if they're sitting there getting loud for me, we're going to keep going.
So explain the trick to me. How do you...
The slap wheelie, you just have to kind of use the either a dirt heel, and it's just timing. It's pretty much like hitting a bump on a bicycle. If you hit the front tire and it just pops it up, and you just keep riding it out, and then you finally let it down after you touch the back bar.
How do you make sure the crowd is entertained? I mean, how long do the competitions last?
Usually we only do maybe 30 to 40 second races, so it's real quick, but it's real fast paced. The complete show lasts about an hour and a half to 2 hours. So as long as the show flows going, and they usually have a bunch of stuff going. I think here they've got freestyle motocross, back flippers, and I mean all that kind of tricks for the crowd to see. And then they also have the Pro Arena trucks, which is local guys and also pros conquering track.
What makes a monster truck a monster truck?
Well, right off the bat, it's just the big tires. I mean, they're over 6 foot tall and weigh about 700 pounds a piece. They're just massive. If you stand up next to it, it's about as tall as about anybody out there. And it's so massive a truck. It weighs about 10,000 pounds, so it can crush anything that's in a way. And then about 1,500 horse. So your normal car has 300 horse. We're five times that.
Ozarks at Large's Christina Karnatz spoke with monster truck driver Darren Jones prior to the Monster Truck Super Series competition tonight and tomorrow night at Parsons Stadium in Springdale. That's at 7:30 both evenings. In 2 weeks, the tour will be stopping at Fort Smith's Harper Stadium for two evenings. For more information, search Monster Truck Racing Super Series on Facebook.
We have heard about the Artisphere Festival Orchestra on stage at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville tomorrow night. We have heard about monster trucks patrolling Parsons Stadium in Springdale tomorrow night. But this weekend, well, next week at Mulberry Mountain is the Wakarusa Festival.
Mm-hmm. It starts Thursday. There's a couple of things happening Wednesday when people kind of move in. And I think there's a couple of bands that will sort of pre-game, if you will. And then the actual thing starts on Thursday and goes through Sunday.
Now, there are two kinds of ways we talk about Wakarusa on Ozarks at Large. One is you, me, or Christina, and that's information. But if we bring in Rhonda Dillard to talk about Wakarusa, that means something else.
It means we have presents.
That makes me feel so good. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
It's a great Friday, and someone's going to be very excited.
Because what we have is a winner for, like, the Wakarusa package.
It is, and it is four tickets, not two, four. So you and three of your buddies can go. It also includes a camping pass, which is very sought after at this time.
Those evaporated. They sold out.
Yeah, I got on Craigslist earlier today just to kind of scope out what's going on in the area. Hundreds of requests. I need camping. So this is a really great package.
This is the last person, along with three of their best friends, to get camping privileges.
To my knowledge.
Okay.
So, yeah. And we were talking about, you know, things that were going on. I also was looking on the web earlier today. This year they're having a huge art installation with 16 different artists. They got some kind of art grant for that to happen.
Excellent.
They're going to have a slew of giant stilt walkers and a social napping network full of hammocks for everyone to stop by.
Okay,
circus performers.
I've seen hammocks before.
Yeah, interactive huts that are being built by some artist. So it sounds like some really cool and new things this year.
Social napping network.
That's what it said.
I love it.
Well, there's a lot of walking and a lot of standing, and you always kind of want to take a nap, and sometimes your campsite is really far away.
Yes.
And so I've seen people who will carry their hammocks with them. So if they're providing me with a hammock, that's great.
Yeah, because the heat will get to you as well.
Yeah.
Yes, it will.
Yeah, lots of heat.
Life is always better when there's a chance to nap.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't be wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the whole kit and caboodle is going to go to this winner, and this winner's selected three people.
That's right. They will be very popular, I have a feeling, today.
All of the more than 150 entries in at KUAF.com, then we have this random generator that picks one.
We do. We have a computer. Go in. We tell it what group of names to go through, which were all highlighted as Waka, and the computer picks.
Okay. Well, let's do it.
All right. Drum roll. Boom.
And the winner is from Fayetteville, Arkansas, Kim Phillips.
Congratulations, Kim.
Kim, congratulations.
So, Kim Phillips, the good news is you're going, you're going to camp, you're going to have the whole thing. Bad news is you're making three people happy and about 300 other people not so.
Very unhappy, yes.
It's up to you who you pick now.
I say hold on to them for a while and let people butter you up.
Yeah, you see what you can get for those. Yeah,
that's
tickets.
Right. Use it through the whole weekend to your advantage. Okay. That's what I would do. Why not?
Right. So Kim Phillips will be in touch. What's our next giveaway?
You know, it is time for the KUAF 16th Annual Summer Jazz Concert Series.
Yeah, it is.
So we'll be giving away two tickets to each performance to these shows. We have three this year. One of the things that has never happened before is we have one in Eureka Springs, mm-hmm. one at 21C in Bentonville, and also one at Star Theater at Walden Arts Center.
So spreading it out to our listeners.
Yeah, throughout three different cities. So this package will be for two tickets to each performance.
No camping, no hammocks. Sorry.
Well, yes. I mean, I guess you can do it on your own.
That's right.
But, you know, we have the performers will be the Yellow Jackets, which are very, very popular. That will be in Eureka Springs. Sons of Brazil will be at 21C, and the Composer's Showcase will be at the Walden Arts Center.
Okay, and so when can you begin registering?
Probably later this afternoon.
Ooh.
And we will have the drawing on Friday, June the 13th.
Very good.
All right. Thank you,
Rhonda.
Thank you, guys.
This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, May 30th, 2014. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. The last time you and I talk in May.
Oh.
I'm sorry, that was mean. I know that always makes you feel uneasy, but we're moving into summer.
Yes, but I'm moving into a new house and I'm not ready. Of course, at this point, they still haven't completely moved out of the house. So if I move in, we're going to be crowded.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather move into a new house in late May or mid-August?
I'd rather move into a new house in January, but that's not how it turned
exactly,
out.
Exactly.
This weekend, you need to move around Northwest Arkansas.
Okay.
Because there's a bunch of music to hear.
Yeah, there is.
It starts tonight, and it actually continues through June 8th. And this is just a sliver of it. This is like the highlights.
Okay.
Because it would take the whole show.
And we don't have that.
Right.
Okay.
Tonight, starting at 5 until 11 o'clock, the ACO Wrecking Ball.
Downtown Springdale should be a lot of fun.
It's going to be so cool. First of all, it's free.
So, yes.
Free.
Check that one off.
It's got four bands: Unza, Chris Cash, Woody and Sunshine, actually five bands, Waterwalk, and Benjamin Del Shreve, who's the headliner. It's got food from Baller and Nomad's Natural Plate.
And those are trucks, food trucks.
It's got beer from Core Brewery.
Which is great.
And it all happens. Now, you got to pay for the food and the beer.
Yeah, well, let's be reasonable.
But it all happens in the old Springdale Ford building that's next door to the Art Center of the Ozarks.
When's the
next wrecking ball?
When's the next party inside this building?
That's it. It's a wrecking ball. It's going to go away, and it's going to be beautiful green space and parking, and it's really time. But this is its last hurrah because it's part of historic Springdale.
Does this not strike you as a very New Orleans way to do something?
Oh, yeah.
Something's going away, so let's celebrate it.
And they've painted inside it and they've hung lights. It's just going to be so much fun. So if you're not there, you should be.
Right.
Florida Georgia Line is tonight.
They are a sort of country rock band of note that has quite the following.
And rapper Nelly is going to be with them at Arvest Ballpark.
They've been doing some stuff together, yeah.
Yeah, they had a big hit show called Cruise, and then they did a remix with Nelly of it. So they're going to be at Arvest Ballpark starting, I believe, at 8 o'clock. And tickets are $39.75 at the box office. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow night, no, it's tonight, Randall Shreve and the Sideshow.
Oh, wow.
That's really fun vaudeville show with costumes at George's. Starts at 9 o'clock, which is way past my bedtime. And there'll also be Six Hung Sprung, Me Like Bees, and Family History performing. It's all of $6.
So you could go there.
You could go tomorrow night to the Road to Essence tour.
Oh, that's right, in Bentonville.
5:30 on Saturday. This is like the smallest city where this Road to Essence tour stops. Mm. Of course, it goes on to New Orleans in July. So I will be there Saturday night trying to get into somebody's luggage. It includes Chrisette Michelle, who's a Grammy Award-winning R&B and soul singer. Mm-hmm. It includes Shantae Moore. Mm-hmm. It includes Belle Biff DeVoe.
Oh, there's a blast from the past.
And the host is DJ MC Light, who is a female DJ.
Right.
Kind of cool. And it is
free.
Free. 5:30 tomorrow at Tiger Stadium in Bentonville. Sunday is the Trail Mix Concert Series.
One day, two cities.
1 to 3 o'clock on the Art Trail near Christa Bridges Museum, and 5 to 7 on the Frisco Trail in Fayetteville.
How much is that going to set me back?
That's free.
My goodness.
Or Sunday afternoon, I'll be at the Mountain Street Stage.
Across the street at the Fayetteville Public Library.
Isaiah's All-Stars play. I think they bill this as an adult concert.
Mm-hmm.
But what a great place to take your kids.
Sure.
Sunday afternoon at the library,
how
live
much does
music.
That cost?
It's free. There's a family concert Thursday night at Ozark Folkways near Winslow with Chuck Brodsky.
Who is remarkable. Let me say, he's quite the songwriter.
And it's $15 for adults.
I think everything you've put in here so far has a total of 21 bucks.
Yeah. And then there's Wakarusa.
More than 21, but more music, too.
I don't even know how many stages. I know that the main stage includes St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Who I have not seen. But Antoinette Grajeda tells me they're fantastic.
As does Kevin Kinder, our music writer for What's Up. Vintage Trouble, mm-hmm. The Flaming Lips.
Who are amazing. I saw them when they were in Fayetteville a couple years ago.
Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros.
Making a return to Wakarusa.
And I know that Antoinette and Kevin and all love them.
And I'll tell you that almost everyone listening has heard that one song at least.
Yeah.
Home. Yeah.
String Cheese Incident,
mm-hmm.
Bass Nectar, and Umphrey's McGee. It starts Thursday at Mulberry Mountain over by Ozark and goes on all weekend.
Now, the camping is sold out, but in a few minutes here on this very program, one last person will find out they have won the last camping pass available.
Well, how That's convenient.
Yes.
Okay. So go out and listen to some music.
And I should say, even if you can't camp, it's still worth... Again, if you have a designated driver, if you know you're going to be okay, go down, enjoy music, drive back.
Well, yeah. All you have to do is run out Highway 16 to the corner of the Pig Trail.
Or if you're in Fort Smith, it's just a straight shot down.
Yeah. So as long as you have a designated driver,
there
please.
You go. Becca, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kyle.
Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This week on Ask Me Another, listen to actor and director John Turturro revive his famous film roles.
This week on 21, watch Herb Stemple get fed to the Columbia Lions. Watch Charles Van Duren eat his first kosher meal. This week on 21.
Listen to contestants try to guess the movie. I'm Ophira Eisenberg. Join me and John Turturro this week on Ask Me Another.
That's Saturday at 11 a.m. on 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Music festival season has arrived, and one of the largest events in our region, Wakarusa, is set to kick off next week on Mulberry Mountain near Ozark. In addition to seeing national acts like the Flaming Lips and Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros, festival goers will also have the opportunity to see local acts like the Mountain Home-based band Coyote Union. Last week, Jeffrey Watts, Wes Dorothy, Jordan Finley, Joel Hudson, and Mark Bertel stopped by the Furman Garner Performance Studio. During their visit, Jordan explained how the band formed in September of 2012.
I was performing with a friend at the county fair in 2012, and I ran into an old friend at the time. It was Mark. And, we kind of just shot the breeze for a little bit and talked about how things were going. And then a few days later, he actually decided to call me, and I picked up, and I was really excited to hear from him. And then he said, "Hey, man, me and a buddy are thinking about trying to start playing music again, and I was wondering if you'd be interested in playing a little bass and singing for us." And so I was ecstatic, and that's kind of how it all started.
And I know there's been a little bit of turnover with who's been in the band mm-hmm. and who's in it now. And why do you decide to keep going? Because sometimes I know, someone leaving or moving, kind of that's the end of the band. So why did you guys decide after all of that to continue, press onward?
I think we decided to, it's really like our passion to do what we do. And it was weird, we'd have people in the band, and they're great friends of ours, but either it didn't fit for them or it didn't quite fit for us. And then now it feels finally like comfortable. We're settled with our members, and and it was hard to see the future when you had so many people switching in and out of the group and trying to get people at practice. And but I think just the passion for what we do really was keeping us driving, and the people, connecting with that many people on that level is really something special.
Okay, and today we have Coyote Union, five of you. How did you come up with that name?
from the stories I've gathered, it's kind of a loose-based name that came out. Something to do where we live at in Arkansas, you can hear pretty much anywhere you live. If you live within proximity of the forest, you can hear the coyotes howling at night. And from what I understand, Mark and a couple of his friends decided to get together, and they decided on the name Coyote Union because that was kind of relevant to our area and just kind of a cool name. So we kind of stuck with that.
I was reading on your website that you've sort of played in some unique places. I saw something about a bowling alley and something about a barn. Can you guys tell me a little bit about that? I mean, that's pretty different.
Well, our singer here, his dad owns a bowling alley in Mountain Home that was closed down. And so we kind of took that under our wing and converted it into a practice space. And then we thought, why not have a show there? So we fixed the place up a little bit and, put up a PA and had at it, and it actually worked out really well.
So you essentially turned it into a music hall?
Pretty much, yeah.
So no bowling anymore?
No.
VIP.
A few lanes were.
It was like, this is really old bowling alley. It was like built in the 70s, and there's like one lane that worked. So whenever we'd kind of be in a spot where we were like, yeah, let's take a break from practice, we just bowl and hang out, and then just get back to it. So it was really kind of a neat area, but... Yeah.
Have you guys had any official shows there?
I guess, yeah. New Year's, we played one that we actually sold tickets for. So I guess you could consider that an official show.
Sure. Well, yeah. It's kind of nice to have your own, venue that you don't have to ask to book it. Well, where are some of the other places you guys have gotten to play? Because I know you've played around.
We actually went on a spring break tour and went... as far west as Colorado, went to Missouri, we've played Gulfport Music Festival last weekend, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And then,
just really all over the...
Yeah, really all over just the Midwest.
Well, being a somewhat new band, 2 years or so, not quite 2 years, do you find it difficult to get some of those gigs? I mean, playing in the Midwest, that's pretty great. You've already expanded beyond the state.
Yeah, me and a really good friend of mine, we book the shows together, and it is a little bit difficult to go into new markets just blind with an online EPK. You just send an email, you blast emails, and you hope for every 10 emails in one city, you get one response, And it's really cool because it's they want to book us off our music and what they see online. They've never seen us play. And then it's a challenge, but it's worth it. In July, we're going all through the South and down into Florida, and back up, and then in October we're going to Europe and Germany and the Netherlands. So it was a slow and steady thing, and it's a lot of work, but it really pays off.
And you have two EPs under your belt, and you're working on a new album?
Yes, we have. Our Teardrop River music video that was shot, how long ago was that shot?
I think 3 months.
About 3 months ago. And it's a pretty cool video that kind of shows our sound in a good... And then we have Time Only Knows. We don't have currently a video for that, but yes, we are working on a new album. It should be done potentially early by next year. We're working as hard as we can to get it done, so... We're excited to have that done, to share our music with as many people as possible.
Well, can you kind of give me a preview? What are some of the songs that you guys kind of have worked out that could potentially end up on the album?
Yeah.
What are they about? What can you tell me about them?
I think one reoccurring theme that we kind of all almost have trouble with not writing about is kind of the... coming to a man, growing up, moving on kind of idea. There's one song called Running Home, and contrary to what the title may seem like, it's actually about moving on past being stationed at home for your whole life and then moving on to traveling and doing things and just chasing your dreams, really. So
yeah, like our home's that white Chevy out there.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are going to be playing at Wakarusa. How did that come about?
We hooked up with a very nice woman. Her name was Sheree Miller, and she saw our EPK video, and she is just, she's awesome. She put us on the map with some people, and we got asked to perform by Pipeline Productions, who puts it on, and we were just ecstatic. We had played Harvest, you know, last October, and we were just kind of waiting, like, oh man, you know, maybe we'll get the, you know, the offer to play.
We're hoping and praying.
Yeah. And it came along, and like, we were freaking out, and I mean, it took a group effort past the five of us that is countless, and I wish I could, you know, thank everybody, but it was just, it all fell into place, you know. I think a stroke of luck and you know, some hard work was the reason it happened on a lot of people's end.
Well, you guys have played at Harvest Festival, which is at the same location, Mulberry Mountain, as Wakarusa, but you seem pretty excited about Wakarusa. How does that compare to Harvest Festival? Why do you seem more excited about that one?
Man, I think that Harvest is great. I loved it. I think Wakarusa, what is it, like five times bigger?
Yeah, it's the quantity of people that show up is quite a bit larger than Harvest from what I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, just to be potentially playing your music in front of more people is always awesome. Like at Gulfport, we had, you know, 150, 200 people watching us. But, you know, Jordan's dad was telling us, he's like, man, people over in the playground and, like, the people on the main stage were, like, singing along to one of our songs. Like, they weren't right there, but they were able to hear our music, which is just really neat.
And as well as the quantity of people, I think the amount of musical heroes I know that are going to be at Walker's is pretty exciting as well.
Oh, yeah.
Who are you excited to see?
I'm pretty excited to see Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. Mm-hmm. They're definitely one of my favorites. And Andy Frasco. Yeah, Andy Frasco. And then Jeff was talking about
John Butler Trio.
Yeah.
Big fan of a lot of their works. So that'll be quite an exciting experience getting to watch them play.
I know a good part of performing at a music festival is being able to get up in front of lots of people who maybe aren't familiar with your music. For some of our listeners who maybe haven't heard of you yet, how would you describe your sound?
It's a bit hard to pin down for some reason. We got kind of the attitude of a rock and roll band. We got the energy, you know, but then we also have kind of the Americana stuff mixed in a little bit with the violin and mandolin and things like that. So it's kind of like a marriage between the two. And so, yeah, very energetic folk rock, I think, would be somewhat fitting.
Okay. You guys brought your instruments with you, so would you like to play something for us?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey there. We are Coyote Union here at KUAF doing an acoustic session. Usually we're full band, and you can catch us at Wakarusa playing full band this June. And we're really excited to be here with KUAF doing our deal. But this one is called Teardrop River, and you can find it on YouTube. And Mark, I'm going to let you start this one off with us. Here we go.
Woo-hoo! Here we go.
Simple.
drops and got off those knees. I held my chin up and my chest out and put one foot before the other. Because when life gets dirty and life grits them teeth, well, I remember that one day by the creek side and what the river rock said to me.
Yeah.
One, two, three. And they said, boy, get off of their knees. They said, boy, not everybody's had that love.
That was Jeffrey Watts, Wes Dorothy, Jordan Finley, Joel Hudson, and Mark Bertel from the band Coyote Union inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. The group is scheduled to perform at 3 p.m. Sunday, June 8th on the Backwoods stage at Wakarusa Music Festival. More information is available at coyoteunion.com. During their visit, the band played two more songs. You can listen to the first one right now at our website, ozarksatlarge.com. We'll play the second one during Weekend Ozarks at Large, which airs Sunday morning at 9 here on KUAF.
I'm Christopher Kimball from America's Test Kitchen. What do you do with a salad bowl that has a sticky residue that you simply cannot wash off? Well, the answer is to take medium grit sandpaper and sand it until it turns matte and pale. Wash and dry, and then give the surface a coat of food-grade mineral oil. Let it soak for 15 minutes, then wipe off with a paper towel. So please join us each week here on America's Test Kitchen, a whole new world of food radio.
Listen Saturdays at noon to 91.3 FM.
The 64th Annual Opera in the Ozarks is June 20th to July 18th at Inspiration Point near Eureka Springs. The 2014 productions include Into the Woods, Così fan tutte, Gianni Schicchi, and Sor Angelica. Performances will be held at the Arend Art Center in Bentonville June 29th and July 6th, 11th, and 14th. Tickets and more information available at opera.org.
The 6th annual Fulbright Chamber Music Festival completes its 2014 season Friday, June 6th in the Great Hall at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art. Great place for music. Beginning at 7 p.m., the U of A music faculty and guest artists will perform The Quality of Luminescence with the String Quartet by Maurice Ravel and Quintets for Clarinet and Strings by Brahms. Reservations are required for this free event. FulbrightSummerMusic.uark.edu for more information. Summer and music here, right?
So much.
I mean,
everywhere.
It's
a good thing.
Oh, no, I am not complaining.
I'm happy to be busy. Are you busy this weekend?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, yes. In fact, if I made a list of everything I want to do this weekend.
Everything you want to do. Well, what are you going to do?
Well, let's see. I
have a plan, but knowing that things may change because of weather and other things.
I'm really going to make a point to get to Wrecking Ball at Springdale tonight.
I'm going, so I'll see you there.
Okay, very good.
Well, yeah, because you can't go next year because it won't be there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And eventually you run out of buildings to knock down, so you can't.
You can keep building them to knock them down. I mean, that's what you do with Legos or
that's like Burning Man, kind of.
Right.
So maybe they've stumbled onto something. Anyway, this building will go down.
Yes.
I've got a friend getting married, and I'm talking, seeing him tonight. Boy, there's just a ton of other things.
I plan to go to the Buffalo tomorrow, knowing that it's going to possibly rain, so that may change.
Where are you putting in?
I'm not sure, actually. The plans keep changing, so I'm not entirely sure. There was a text message that went out, but I don't remember where it was. But I hope to be back Sunday in time for the Artisphere Trail Mix concert series, because I swear, I miss that every year. I was dead set on going last year, and then it snowed.
Oh, that's right. Well, no snow this time.
No. Maybe some rain. So there's that. So the weather is still defeating me, but I have these high hopes. So, but if it rains, I have indoor backup plans. Like on Saturday night, I can go to Fun Bags. Oh my gosh.
Saturday night, of course, the Artisphere Festival Orchestra. Mm-hmm. There's just so much. And then, of course, there's just the things I need to do, like weed the garden and things like that.
You can do that later.
You're right. Okay.
So many fun social things to do. We should. I support those things.
I'm going to listen to Chuck Barrett call the Razorback games as much as I can this weekend.
Right.
There's the track meet going on, the West Prelim. Mm-hmm. And if you're organizing something or doing something that we haven't mentioned, it's not because we don't want to. It's just that there's a bunch of stuff going on.
But feel free to email us and tell us about it. You can email us at ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. You can go to our website, KUAF.com, and upload your events to our events calendar there as well. And we'll try and help you get the word out.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, Hiawassee. And Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. Our theme music, composed and performed by Daryl Sean. You're hither and yon this weekend. Christina Karnatz and I will be back Sunday morning at 9 with a special edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Have a great weekend.